They were gathered at what was called a chant pilgrimage in Washington, D.C. in 2009, and Franklin McAfee reminded them of the poet John Keats and his well-known words, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness." And McAfee continued, "When the envoys of Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, returned from attending the Divine Liturgy at the Hagia Sophia Cathedral in Constantinople in the late 10th century, they gave this report. 'We knew not whether we were in heaven or on earth, for surely there is no such splendor or beauty anywhere on earth. We cannot describe it to you. Only this we know, that God dwells there among men, and that their service surpasses the worship of all other places, for we cannot forget the beauty.'" For McAfee, we moderns have been impoverished. To use a phrase of Paul Claudel, we live in an age of starved imagination. According to the philosopher Plotinus, the soul must climb the ladder of the beautiful before it can encounter the vision of first beauty. But what happens when they remove the rungs of the ladder? Scientists tell us that the left side of the brain specializes in mathematics, analysis, science, and so on. It is the right side of the brain that is incurably romantic. Its province is poetry, love, art, music. It is the right side of the brain that is called into play by a high form of liturgy. One author has said, during a more deritualized example of the vernacular mass, the right brain, that miniature Homer or Shakespeare in all of us, is smothered to death. Through beauty, many hearts, hardened to the church and her teaching, though, have been melted, according to McAfee, as was the case of the so-called decadents, poets Baudelaire, Verlaine, the writer Oscar Wilde, and others. The poet Baudelaire wrote, in fact, "It is at once through poetry and across poetry, through and across music, that the soul glimpses the splendor situated beyond the grave." Baudelaire was significantly influenced on his idea of beauty by an American writer he much admired, Edgar Allan Poe. Poe states of beauty, "We still have a thirst unquenchable, the thirst belonging to the immortality of the human. The human is at once a consequence and an indication of this perennial nature. It is the desire of the moth for the stars. It is no mere appreciation of the beauty before us, but veiled effort to reach the beauty above." Words of Edgar Allan Poe. Why then must the liturgy be beautiful? Because beauty provides a vehicle to transcend our present lives and to touch the skirts of heaven. When we encounter finite beauty, there is engendered a more passionate longing for absolute immortal beauty, of which earthly temporal beauty is but an ephemeral epiphany. How can I describe the liturgy, then, asks McAfee. I can describe the liturgy with one word. In the courts of heaven, amid the chorus of angels, there is but one word spoken, one solitary word, which the cherubim and seraphim utter before the majesty of the cosmic liturgy. And that word is that simple word, ah. Words of Franklin McAfee in a report published in the journal Sacred Music in 2009. Our hosts this weekend will not be at all surprised if the music of Rachmaninoff and the voices who render it leave us speechless because of its beauty. Perhaps we'll be left simply with a deep and abiding ah. And that will be just right. The chamber choir of St. Tikhon's Monastery will present the all-night vigil of Sergei Rachmaninoff this Sunday evening at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro-Cathedral in downtown Wilkes-Barre. The choir is made up of professionals who are some of the finest singers of Russian liturgical music in the country. They'll perform under the direction of Benedict Sheehan, who is their artistic director. All part of the 114th annual Memorial Day pilgrimage of St. Tikhon's Monastery in South Canaan, the oldest Orthodox monastery in America. Benedict Sheehan is a composer, conductor, teacher, and director of music at St. Tikhon's Orthodox Theological Seminary and Monastery, and Maria Sheehan is a professional vocalist and community coordinator for the monastery. Maria and Benedict are husband and wife, and they paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the tradition of the memorial pilgrimage at St. Tikhon's and the concert featuring the Rachmaninoff all-night vigil.
This is the somewhat astonishingly 114th annual Memorial Day pilgrimage at St. Tikhon's. St. Tikhon was founded by Patriarch Tikhon, who was at that time in 1905. He was the bishop of North America, and as such, he was actually the bishop for all of the Orthodox communities in this country. There was not the administrative divisions that grew later as immigration sort of caused the populations to grow. He was kind of responsible for most of the Orthodox faithful at that time. And at that point, he felt it extremely important, of the foremost importance, and this is something that's characteristic of Orthodox Christianity, that there be a monastery established, that the sort of anchoring of the faithful in the world comes from those who enter monasteries and pray for everyone in the world, who provide sanctuary, both spiritual and almost practical sanctuary, to weary workers in Christ's army, as it were. And he knew that that was a huge priority. And so he, with a half of the purchase price of the property, was his own money. And in 1905, he purchased this farmhouse and land adjacent to it in South Canaan. And the very first pilgrimage, he also chose the time of Memorial Day, which wasn't, of course, Memorial Day in 1905, but the observance of Memorial Day as being a time to remember and to honor and to pray for departed service members actually originates shortly after the Civil War. It was called Decoration Day then, and it wasn't quite, the date wasn't solidified. It was often, you know, associated with July 4th, and then there were some days, other days in May, and I think it didn't become an official national holiday until the 60s. But St. Tikhon, knowing this American, very American holiday, this Decoration Day, knowing that what we did was we prayed for departed loved ones, chose that as the time, the appointed time, for a pilgrimage to St. Tikhon's. And that has been honored for over a century, ever since, every year. And the people who were instrumental in the founding of St. Tikhon's Monastery were from the region. The faithful who attended the monastery as a church community, and actually many, very many orphans, because there was an orphanage for decades, there was an orphanage at St. Tikhon's. These people often worked in the mines in the Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area, and there was a tradition of an actual physical pilgrimage. So they walked from the valley over the Archibald Mountain to St. Tikhon's on that particular holiday, which is a beautiful pious tradition that you can see all around the world, but it happened here. And these folks came for that very purpose that St. Tikhon had in mind when he founded the monastery, which was to put workers in place. This is what the abbot of the monastery, Father Sergius, describes as digging a well. And those monks, those faithful who were there every day, serving the services every day for 114 years, they are always digging. And the faithful come, people who don't know anything about Christ, may not know anything about the Orthodox Church, let alone any particular Christian belief system, or any belief system. People are just curious. They come because there's something to drink there. It's a powerful draft, you know, and that just keeps being dug every year. So, you know, the 114th, the 115th, God willing, we keep going. And the depth and richness of that well just keeps increasing.
And Benedict, the life of the monastery would not be complete without music.
Absolutely. I mean, almost everything we do in the Orthodox Church, inside the church, is musical in some respect. We sing almost everything that we do. The priest will sing, the deacon will sing, and of course, the choir will sing, and it's the kind of the innate musicality of the liturgy that really drew me as a young man and really inspired me to devote my life to music. It's music with a living context. It's music that's very traditional, but it's also a tradition that can be added to. It's still alive. It's still growing. I speak as a composer as well. I feel that uniquely in the musical life of the liturgy, I'm speaking to an audience that understands what I'm trying to do musically. I think it's a unique thing in our time where a composer can speak just as easily with their audience today as he or she can with the past. So it's the connection both with the past and the present. I think that's one of the hallmarks of the living tradition of the Orthodox music.
You all here are very much dedicated to keeping that tradition alive and developing a body of music so that Orthodox congregations and their choirs can continue this wonderful liturgical celebration through music.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a big part of our work is to build up the tradition as far as we can. I mean, we're in a time right now where not everybody is they're not musically active, as it were. You know, music in schools is having a more and more difficult time. Kids aren't being taught to read music as much as they were. And when I don't think I really was taught to read music in school either. I had to figure it out on my own. So part of what that means is that in the Orthodox Church in America, there is a musical decline that we've seen. And that's not just the Orthodox. So we're trying to do what we can to see if we can stem the tide and, you know, help people to learn to sing, to tell them that it's important, and to, well, we hope to inspire them in some respect, to say we need to rise up and to reveal the liturgy as something deeply beautiful and worthy of the angels.
Maria, tell us about this special choir that comes together for occasions like this.
This ensemble, the Chamber Choir of St. Ikon's Monastery, is the child, as it were, of our collective father, the abbot of the monastery. He himself was a musician. He came to faith through choral music. And because of that treasure that he received as an administrator, as someone with the ability to put resources where they need to be in order to support something like this, he thought that a very, very big priority. And so he charged my husband with, in addition to the responsibilities that he has of conducting services, sometimes every day, two services a day at the monastery, and teaching the students, many of which have had very little, if any, musical training or experience before they are called to a role of being a pastor. Poor things, they don't realize that they're probably going to have to sing almost as much, if not more.
There were certainly some that were not prepared to do that.
They don't all get the memo.
And got a rude awakening.
Yeah, but bless them, they always work very hard. They love it. It's true. It's a wonderful student body. We were referring to the seminary that is associated.
Right, we're not speaking about the chamber.
Yeah, it's an interesting sort of parallel. So we've been really blessed, you know, this is, as I was saying before, this is Father Sergius's vision, to have a professional ensemble under the auspices of the monastery. So that means working towards the same mission, towards the same vision of what the arts are for our souls as humans, as the church understands us to be. That is his top-down sort of initiative. And as such, as I said, you know, he's allocated the resources to be able to engage these world-class professional musicians. So we're very fortunate in this wonderful sort of rural, glorious pastoral setting where St. Ticons is.
This little community.
Yeah, to be 2.5 hours away from New York City, which has a population of some of the most talented artists in the world. So that is the huge resource that we were able to tap into. And these singers have a remarkable amount of experience with the repertoire of the Russian church because it's such a powerful genre. It has broad appeal. And so these singers are experienced, many of which, you know, they kind of travel the circuit singing the all-night vigil. So this year, our repertoire for our annual performance at St. Stephen's, this is now the third annual concert at St. Stephen's as part of the Memorial Day pilgrimage festivities, because it's many days, the pilgrimage itself. So Sunday night, this concert at St. Stephen's, we thought this was the year to offer to the area enjoy on our own part, because it's so glorious. It feeds us just as much as it feeds the audience, maybe even more, I say selfishly as a musician, the all-night vigil. So, you know, this, as I said, this is the top-down work that Father Sergius, in his vision for what St. Ticon's offers to the world at large, not just to the immediate community of faithful who may attend a church or who may know about the church, but everyone, the world will be saved through beauty, you know, to offer that beauty to absolutely everyone. And this is a way that he knows he can do that, that the fathers at the monastery who work every day tirelessly can pool that resource and provide something beautiful and approachable to the world. And so that's the top down. And the bottom up is, you know, this is another vision that the patriarch, Ticon, who founded the monastery. Incidentally, he didn't name it after himself. He named it after his patron. There's some people kind of like, No, he named it after his patron, St. Ticon of Zadonsk, which he was a bishop in the 18th century in Russia, who remarkably had a number of similar tasks that he was burdened with to those that we find ourselves being burdened with in this modern age as the faithful. So we look to St. Ticon of Zadonsk for a lot of inspiration and support in our path. But the bottom up is the training that students receive at the seminary. And this is where the educational component comes in, that the work that Benedict does with students at the seminary and with people who come from outside that community to get some education. Hopefully these two forces are going to meet in the middle, and we'll have a complete work in trying to build up the choral arts and the music of the church.
Benedict, it's time then for us to learn more about the Rachmaninoff.
Well, the Rachmaninoff All-Night Vigil is also commonly known as the Rachmaninoff Vespers. It's the same piece, it's just that in Russian it's called the All-Night Vigil because that's the name of the service from which he draws the texts for the piece. I should add that the performance is not going to last all night. It is going to be about 90 minutes, I would say, with an intermission. So for those listeners who might be afraid that they're going to be there all night, don't worry, you're not going to be there all night. So the Rachmaninoff Vigil was premiered in 1915 in Moscow, and it was the fruit of a deep movement in Russian music towards kind of trying to rediscover their roots. It's known as the Russian nationalist movement in music, and many of the European nations at that time were involved in an artistic nationalism. For Russia, the rediscovery of the roots, it meant in part to go back to their medieval chant. And so Rachmaninoff took on the project of composing a version of the vigil. It's 15 movements, so the piece on its own lasts about an hour. But if you go to a vigil in the Russian Orthodox Church, it could be 2 to 3 to 5 hours. So there's a lot of stuff in there that's not set by Rachmaninoff. So Rachmaninoff, he composes music for the major pieces of hymnography, and he embarked on this project to compose it all based on medieval chant, or melodies that he composed to sound like they were medieval chant. Rachmaninoff was not the first composer to do this, but I think he's arguably the one who did it best. It's certainly the most well-known, and I think judging by how often it's performed all over the world by everyone, I think it's absolutely up there as being among the most popular. What we're hoping to bring to this performance is a bit of the experience of this music in a liturgical context. So we're going to do that in a few ways. One is that I, as the conductor, I conduct in church all the time. I've been doing it since I was 14, I think, is when I started conducting in church. It was probably a mistake. A mistake on the part of the person that wanted me to do it at age 14. But I'm doing it now, so I guess it had a good effect. So I'll bring my own experience of just the way that music feels ideally in the context of the liturgy. Also, we're not only going to sing the Rachmaninoff, but we're going to add in a few of the components that Rachmaninoff didn't set to music. So we're going to give it a kind of more liturgical feel. It's going to fill in a little bit of the gaps, and there's going to be some parts for a deacon and some parts for a reader that you wouldn't get if you just did the Rachmaninoff.
Maria, what is it that is so splendid to you as a singer about this music?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think about the answer to that question, and I have to ask myself something that resembles that question every time I prepare to, every time I try and find the personal resources to sing for 3 hours, which is a lot. Orthodox worship services can be very long, and that's a lot of singing. And, you know, I think to myself, how is this physically possible? What is this music giving to me that enables me to perform at this level so consistently? And, you know, when we get down to Holy Week and Easter or Pascha, as it's referred to in the Orthodox Church, it's a regularly scheduled miracle. There's no physical way that you can endure that much, you know? So there's something we are given as singers, as, you know, as the words come out of our mouth in song. And it seems to be one of those ways that the commandment, I'll use that word, to sing in church is actually a blessing. It's the way that we are provided the energy to endure, to perform what we are asked to perform. And the music of the church, there's kind of a peer review process in church music. So things will come into practice and they'll be tried for a while. And you find that the things that endure are the things that are actually working. And what constitutes working seems to be what provides energy to those trying to execute this really demanding task. Physically, spiritually, it's intense. It's, you know, kind of a mindfulness to the extreme. The amount of attention you have to, you know, devote in order to track what's going on in the context of a service where you have complicated choral music in addition to liturgical movement, in addition to coordinating other motions around the church, let alone other people. I mean, the interpersonal thing is another, you know, it's a whole other dimension. So this music is a powerful experience for the listener. No question. Rachmaninoff's command, he composed orchestrally almost. You hear such an intensely broad range of textures and qualities to the sounds of the choir. It's absolute genius. So you get that experience as a listener, in addition to the real sort of anchoring, almost sort of peacefully stabilizing quality of chant. Chant has this ability to take you outside of the kind of the tick of the second hand on the clock. And you begin to sort of recalibrate the passage of time with the passage of the chant. I think that is universal to chant traditions around the world. That's why chant is so always inextricably associated with worship, because you step out. So we have these chant-based, intensely beautifully kind of orchestratedly arranged choral pieces, and it's just voices. You know, so there is something human that just resonates throughout the entirety of this piece. It's just you experiencing other humans making this really powerful, powerful sound. And you're invited into it. And that's the experience in church. That's the ideal of the music of worship, that you are invited into it and you resonate at the same time as the airwaves. You know, it's sympathetic vibrations, you know? And so, you know, if we're going to talk about what the feeling is like as singers, there's the purely practical thing that as a singer, as one of the treble voices in this ensemble, I have the singular pleasure of standing in front of basso profundi, which is, it's kind of like getting a sound massage. So we get to invite all of our listeners, all of our potential concert attendees to that same experience. It's really spectacular how Rachmaninoff really uses his profundi and his settings to their full effect.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, a basso profundo is a very low bass, and the Rachmaninoff Vigil is particularly famous for its low bass notes. I believe the lowest written note is a low B flat. So the B flat below the bass staff, which very few people can sing and make any good sound on. But we actually have a bass, two basses, who will be able to add a few notes that are actually four steps below that. So it's going to be quite remarkable. You should come for the low notes alone. In fact, one of the basses that sings with us has his own kind of traveling fan club. It's true. And there's always a few people at every performance I've done with him who have come from that group. So they come just to hear him sing. His name is Glenn Miller, if you don't know the name. And I think Glenn has sung on almost every major Rachmaninoff disc that's been produced in America in the past 25 years. Including the famous Robert Shaw recording from 1989.
The folks who know and love this music always seem to come back for more. And that's one of the real special things that we get to enjoy at St. Tikhon's, which is as a gathering place for people who are drawn just to the aesthetics of it. And I've heard people speak about this as almost kind of a deliberate thing, that God doesn't want us to have to endure worship. He doesn't want us to have to sacrifice. He wants to give us joy that is actually pleasurable. And a beautiful sound is it's very intense pleasure. And so some of us who, you know, some people come back to the church, and I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people, they come to a church and they what is that music? What is that music? And they just want to come back to hear the music. So, you know, sometimes it's not possible to get all the way out to St. Tikhon's, which is not to say that we do the Rachmaninoff Vigil every Saturday night at St. Tikhon's. But it is very beautiful there. And we want to offer that to the artistic community at large, because that sense of, I just want to be in that sound. I just want to be wrapped up in those crystalline high notes and those beautiful velvety low notes and just feel that in the air around me. And it's very different from a recording. To feel that real live sensation of being surrounded by this sound is a really wonderful experience. So that's for everybody. We invite everybody.
Yeah, and I don't believe that the Rachmaninoff Vigil has been performed in our area for at least 5 years, I think. I think the last group to do it was the Marywood University Chorus under the direction of Maestro Rick Hoffenberg. I could be wrong, but I think that was the last time it's been performed in the area. So we're really excited to offer it to listeners in the area. And I'm really excited about the group of singers that we've got this year. I believe all of them have performed the piece many times. So you're gonna hear that experience, but they're also very good at it. So it's great to be able to do it in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area.
You'll be back at St. Stephen's Church in downtown Wilkes-Barre, and you've gotten to know it well.
I mean, I can't say enough about the acoustic at St. Stephen's. Many people, I think, don't realize that a church building is an instrument. It's designed to be an instrument. You know, so the choir is like the strings on the violin. But the building is the violin. It's the body of it. It wouldn't be the music that it needs to be if we didn't have that space to do it in. And so it's a real treat to be able to perform there. It's both visually stunning and also orally stunning.
Benedict Sheehan, Director of Music at St. Tikhon's Orthodox Seminary and Monastery, and vocalist Maria Sheehan, community coordinator for the monastery, speaking with us about the annual Memorial Day pilgrimage of St. Tikhon's Monastery, the 114th annual, at South Canaan, May 25th through the 28th. And that pilgrimage will include a performance of the all-night vigil by Sergei Rachmaninoff, featuring the chamber choir of St. Tikhon's Monastery. That's this Sunday, May 27th, at 7:30 p.m. at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro-Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre. For more information or tickets, online, monasterychamberchoir.com, monasterychamberchoir.com. The public is invited to attend all of the events of the pilgrimage. All the details are online at memorialdaypilgrimage.com, memorialdaypilgrimage.com, and that's at St. Tikhon's Monastery, 175 St. Tikhon's Road in South Canaan, Pennsylvania. For more information about the concert featuring the Rachmaninoff All-Night Vigil with the Professional Chamber Choir of St. Tikhon's Monastery under the direction of Benedict Sheehan, and that will include vocalist Maria Sheehan, that is online at monasterychamberchoir.com, monasterychamberchoir.com.